Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We're coming, Lord, to the end of this month, Father. And every day has been a day we experience your hand coming through, Lord. Jesus, 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 we look to you, the author, the finisher of our faith. Breakthrough, Lord. Touch your children everywhere, Lord. Meet them at their point of need. For you are our Savior, Lord. Our deliverer, our healer, our provision, our everything, Lord, is in you. Jesus, 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 help us. Help us, Lord, as we continue to study your word, to prepare ourselves for the end that will inevitably come, Lord. The end of things as they are. It is told to your servant Peter, the end of all things is at hand. So be serious, be sober, be watchful in your prayers. Thank you, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. We'll go to Revelation 17 today. We were with the seven bold judgments, the final judgment of God. When specifically the wrath of God is being poured upon the earth. Christians are gone by now. The Jews are left. And it's a time of what is called the Great Tribulation. First we will read 18 verses, but to get the context we'll read all 18 and then slowly come back. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with a great amazement. The angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The city that you, the beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as the kings, as kings with the beast. They are of one mind and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and those who are with him are called faithful, chosen, and faithful. Then he said to me, The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes, nations and tongues. And the three horns, ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For the Lord has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Okay. Now this is true, okay, facts and not fiction. Okay. So, like we say in English, this is the book of Revelation is not written in chronological order. So we have in 16, we've been told about the final stage of the Great Tribulation, second half, when the seven bowl judgments. Yet when we read this, it is probably in the beginning of the tribulation when we are being told about the two Jerusalem. 17 is about one Babylon, which is the religious Babylon, and 18 is the economic and the political Babylon, and the destruction of both is being explained, which is, like I said, the chapter is not in chronological order, but like we say, this is a parenthesis, tells about the rise, or rather the end of false religion. Please remember, throughout history, Babylon has been the center of false religion. And we will go there later, where we see that in Genesis 10 and 11. In Revelation 16:19, we had seen the system is being judged. The great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of our wrath. This is Revelation 16:19, and in 17 we have the description about this city. So in 17, if you go to chapter 17, verse by 1 to 6, you see the 10, or rather later down at verse 18, we'll see the 10 details of this apostate religious system called Babylon. Okay, please remember, like New Jerusalem is called the bride, Babylon is the bride of Satan. And New Jerusalem is the bride of New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. So the first thing we see about this city, or this woman, or this set of people, okay, it works that way because the bride is a city, figuratively a city, it's called a woman, and it is a set of people. So the first thing is that, unlike the pure holy virgin, which is the bride of Christ, who has been sanctified body, soul, and spirit, this one is first called a great harlot. Okay, she's a great harlot. She's a harlot. Great harlot. Second thing we see is that she sits on many waters. Third thing we see is that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Okay, they are in basically intimate relationship with this false Babylon, the false religious system. Fourth thing we see is the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The fifth one we see is that the woman is in the wilderness sitting upon a scarlet beast. The seventh thing we see is she's dressed with gold and precious stones. Okay. The eighth is that she has a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Fifth is that on her forehead a name was written. See, everybody has a name. Okay, the bride has the name of the son and the father on the forehead. Basically, the name is basically character. So the bride has acquired by the end of her time the very character and the image of God, while Babylon has acquired the very character and the image of Satan. So on her forehead, a name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So you will see she has different names. Okay, her name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Tenth thing we see is that she is drunk with the blood of the saints. Right from the beginning, though Babylon will reappear again only at the end of the age, Babylon has been there from the beginning. She is the mother of all. That's why she is called the mother of harlots and of abominations. She is drunk with the blood of saints and all those who have martyred for Christ Jesus. And who is this woman who is not a woman? In verse 18 we see she's a city. Okay, she's a great, the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now, if you see the second part of it, that is the beast. In verse 3, we see the beast, the scarlet colored beast. Okay, she's sitting on a beast, that is, color of the beast is scarlet. Second thing we see, it's full of names of blasphemy. Okay, blasphemy. Third thing we see is that the beast has seven heads and ten horns. We're not talking about the woman now, we are talking about the beast whom she's sitting. In verse 7, we see the beast is the one that is carrying her. Okay, verse 7, okay. The beast that carries her. And then we see in verse 8, the beast was and is not and shall be. Okay, the beast was and is not, and yet is. Now one thing, and goes into perdition. Okay, the beast will go into perdition. So we have the woman and the beast. One thing we see about both the beast and the woman, that is in verse 3 and in verse 4, you will see the color of the beast is scarlet. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. What does it mean? In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, this is God's call to humanity through Israel. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. There they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the color, this is the color of sin. Okay, this is the color of sin. Scarlet. So both the beast and the woman is dressed in scarlet. Okay, that's the color of sin. That they are the epitome of sin. It is also associated with luxury and splendor. Remember the rich man who went to hell? He was dressed, if I'm right, in scarlet, in purple. Okay, scarlet in purple. So it is talking about absolute sinful indulgence. The color of the last days people. Remember, they have a form of godliness but deny its power. And then 14 characteristics of these people are mentioned over here. Okay. These are people in whose life sin was never dealt with, and they have reached, like Noah says, where every thought, every inclination, and every work is of sin. And in verse 1, she's called a prostitute. Okay, she's called a prostitute. And verse 15 is talking about the complete control or the power she has upon these people. He said, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Like in Revelation 7, we see these multitudes before the Lamb worshipping. Here we see the multitudes that have been taken over completely by her. In chapter 13:1, we had identified the beast. That's why I say it's not in chronological order, the beast. And I stood on the sand and the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of heaven, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. So this is the beast, okay, on which she is riding, meaning she is supported by the political and the economic power of the beast. That is the political system. You'll always see the political and the economic system are always intertwined. Even here, like you see in India, it's basically the political system and two big business houses intertwined. Everywhere you will see the political and the economic system goes. That's why even here, right after the Kshatriyas, the ruling class, usually you have the trading class, then of course you have the priests. So you will see these three, and the majority, 80% plus, who are not even counted. Okay, 80% person plus population, or maybe even more, don't come in that class. Yet these three control, everything is controlled by these three. And you will see, even though you may not have a caste system in Western nations, these three classes control the rest of the population: the priestly class, the political, military, industrial class, they control. So you will see how Babylon nature has never changed from the beginning till the end. And that's why God's people are asked to, one, come out of that system, spiritually speaking. Physically, we cannot get out of the system. We are in this world, but we are not of Babylon. And second, always see your life on earth as a pilgrimage. That you are a pilgrim and a sojourner in this world because of this system. Okay, because of this system. And you will always see this woman is riding on the beast, meaning politicians always use religion to gather power. Okay? But once they rise into power, you will see they become one. Like Caesar, who was a political entity, became God. And they had to worship Caesar. And you will see this everywhere in the ancient world. And we're going to have a replica of that coming when the Antichrist has to be worshipped. So, in verse 15, what we see is the scope of this system. We already saw how widespread it is. The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitude, nations, and tongues. Most theologians say Babylon, that city, will be rebuilt. We know Babylon is in Iraq. It will be rebuilt in the last days. It will be rebuilt. And we will say, okay, if it's being rebuilt, how come nothing is happening today? We know today the speed with which construction takes place, if you have the money. The speed with the only issue construction is delayed is because of money. But if there is money, they can build anything fast. Every prefabricated, like if the Antichrist gives permission when the time comes for the third temple to be built, it will be built so fast that we will be shocked. Okay, so we will see where is Babylon, because Babylon, technically they say, has to come back in Iraq. Okay, so the, if you look at this political system now, we will say, hey, things don't look at all like what it is. It's because of what is happening underneath. Okay, because right now we have hundreds of religions. Primarily, we categorize them as Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism. But other than that, there are so many others. Okay, so the whole question is, how can they all come together? How can they all come together? Because there are two movements that is happening. One is overground, which is called the Council of World Religions, ecumenical movements, that all religions are primarily same for the good of mankind. All of them lead to God. And you will see the big names in Christianity changing their original stance. Okay, so you will have ultimately a world when the church is gone out of this. By now the church is gone. You will have one religion, because the only stumbling block is the cross. It's not even Jesus. The stumbling block is always the cross. Jesus on the cross, that Jesus died on the cross. So if you take the cross away, which is an offense to everybody, you will see how it will come. But the underneath behind the real thing, okay, which no teacher who teaches the book of Revelation will speak about it. What under? You will ask this question, like if you look at the Islamic world, or the Hindu world, or the Buddhist world, or the Protestant, the Catholic world, all around the world. How is it possible at a certain point of time they will all collapse and become one religion? How is it possible? And people do not realize underneath it's already one. This is what we do not see. I mean, children don't have to hear, don't understand, it's okay. The Freemasonry. In the Freemasonry, which is absolutely global underneath, all of them are one. And the people who are sheep, who are dumb, have no clue what is happening underneath. There the Hindu, the Muslim, the Catholic, the Protestant, all outside labels, they gather together. And what it literally, I have very clear understanding about this, the filthiness and the abominations which is being talked about here is actually what happens over there. If you want, you don't have to, if you want, you can check on YouTube where those videos has been leaked. The kind of stuff they do, the abomination, filthy stuff they do. And you need to realize they are all dressed in black, purple and scarlet. Okay, they all dress that way. And it's demonic, it's sacrifices, literally drinking of blood. So you hear about drinking of blood. All these things happen over there. And they are all, okay. And you will realize the simple thing is that this year our Prime Minister went to UAE and inaugurated the temple. Right? Now think it, how is it possible that in a Muslim country they actually allowed the building of a temple and installation of idols? Because the people will not say anything. And the leadership are all part of the same thing. Okay, we need to understand how these things happen. It's happening right before our eyes. Okay, so how this is, we're talking about 15, talking about the scope, the breadth of this influence of this false system. Okay, and verse 2 is actually talking about how this system seduces. Okay, and all the people, okay, come. Okay, the kings of the earth, meaning the very powerful of the earth. See, when John is talking from 2000 years back, remember, everywhere there are only kingdoms. There is no democracy, nothing. Everywhere there are only kingdoms. So he's talking about the powerful. Committed fornication, the inhabitants of earth were made drunk with the wine of our fornication. What happens is in this system, like I said, the belly of that beast, okay? It's literally wine, drugs, and orgies, a part of the rituals to invite the demons for power, for wealth and influence. And everything is corrupted by them, from sports to music to movies to every industry, political system. Everything is corrupted over there. And that's why you see how these people blind the masses. Blind the masses. Okay, and the support of that system comes from, we saw in verse 3, comes from the Antichrist himself. Okay, it is the Antichrist himself that is said, this scarlet beast, and who is Satan's proxy. In Revelation 13:4, we will see the dragon rules by proxy. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast, who is able to make war with him? This is the beast. Satan literally rules. He's been waiting for this day for 6,000 years. And the Bible says, he's full of names of blasphemy. In verse 3, it will say, 17:3, full of names of blasphemy. So what does it mean? When does a name become a blasphemy? Because a name that belongs only to God, okay, when you appropriate it to another power, that's when it becomes blasphemy. Okay, remember, even the Israelites, when Moses went up the mountain and they asked Aaron to make that golden calf, and when they made the golden calf and they carried the calf and they worshipped the calf, they did not name the calf by an Egyptian god's name. They named the calf Elohim, which is God's name. That's blasphemy. Okay, understand how we will take appropriate the names that are connected with God alone. And remember, in verse 4, what you see, outwardly the success, because she is dressed in purple and scarlet, and she has gold and precious stones, but underneath you see the filth. Upward is one thing, which is what I'm saying, which is actually true, because so many of these people whom we see, when you see them outside, they are the ones everybody want to be like. If you are in the industry, you want to be like them, these giants of industry. If you are in movies, you want to be those mega stars like them. If you are in music, this is what. But what people do not know is, what did it cost these people to reach there? Okay, that's why yesterday's message, if you are able to understand, don't go after a name or a reputation or put trust in your works. Don't do any of those things. That is where the danger comes. And the spirit behind the system. Okay, the spirit behind the system. Let us go to Genesis, the origin, the beginning. Genesis chapter 10. 6 to 8, okay. Yeah. The sons of Ham were Cush. Okay, the sons of Ham. So, you are giving. Noah had 3 sons. And one son did something which we don't want to talk about here. And then his son, Canaan, is cursed. Okay, Ham. This is the sons of Ham. So there is a curse over this. If you come to verse 8, okay, Cush begot Nimrod. Okay, this is the guy, the big guy in history, Babylonian mythology and history, begot Nimrod. And he began to be a mighty one on the earth. Yeah. Okay. 8 to 10. Yeah. Mighty one. Verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Okay. It's his kingdom. Okay. So it's Nimrod. And Nimrod's beginning is the Babylonian system begins over there. Now, if you go to chapter 11, we will see this kingdom. Okay, this kingdom. The whole earth had one language and one speech. Okay. It came to pass. See, we looked at yesterday, we will look at it another day in our church, about God's beauty of unity. Okay. There is a divine unity that God brings forth through truth, and there is a diabolical unity that devil brings. The whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar, and this is the key. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole. Now you need to understand, they are going against the clear divine mandate of God. If you go to Genesis 9, verse 1 and verse 7, twice God says, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and what? Fill the earth. In verse 7, and as for you, be fruitful, multiply and forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. But what they are saying that we will not spread. It will not spread. We will be fruitful and multiply, but we'll be all in one place. So their very building of the Tower of Babylon is in rebellion against God. Now God says the same thing in the New Covenant to us. Wait in Jerusalem. When the Holy Spirit comes, you shall receive power. And when you receive power, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And you will realize, the first century church, they were good in everything except the fact they didn't want to move out of Jerusalem. They didn't want to move out of Jerusalem. So the Bible will say, a great persecution arose and they were scattered. Okay, so either way you need to realize, okay, we need to realize, don't forget what God says. Okay, don't forget what God says. So you have these two cities. Babylon is the second most mentioned city in the Bible after Jerusalem. So Babel means confusion, because what happened God there is he will confuse their tongues. So you have Jerusalem, which means peace, shalom, and you have Babylon, which means confusion. Okay, so you need to ask yourself, where are you? Are you confused today? Or are you at peace? Or are you at peace? Now, the Babylonian, okay, this is legends, myths, and you need to understand the powerful power of legends and myths. Okay, because in our country, we have two primary mythologies, one called Ramayana and the other called Mahabharata. But right in the beginning of both these myths, stories, it is very clear the author, one is a poet or a sage called Vyasa, the other is a poet called Valmiki, and they are both saying this is what they are writing. It is not history. It is not true. It's not real. And what happens is, no, what happens is the power of that myth that controls the entire country. Okay, the amount of bloodshed and money and power and influence and worship is based on these two books, myths. Not the Vedas. Vedas are irrelevant. It's based on these two books. Okay, in the same way, we need to understand the Babylonian myth is the actual origin of all this. You have called somebody called Nimrod mentioned over there, and then his wife whose name is Semiramis. Okay, Semiramis, that's a Babylonian myth. Nimrod is there, Semiramis is the one Jeremiah writes over and over as the queen of heaven. Okay, now they had a child called Tammuz. Tammuz is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel in 8 and verse 14. Ezekiel verse 8, 14. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. In the Babylonian myth, Nimrod and his wife Semiramis, her son Tammuz, was killed by a wild boar. Okay, that's why you will see. Where are they weeping for Tammuz? In the holy place, in the temple of Israel. That's what I'm saying. What you see outwardly and what happens inwardly are completely different. That is why don't accept anything by face value, meaning the exhibits of power, miracle signs. You have to question what is the source of their power. And second thing, how do you know the source of their power? You know it by looking at their doctrine. Okay. The power is basically attestation. Like, you know, you take a letter or a check or something. What validates that letter or check is a sign and the seal. Okay, sign and the seal. Okay, what validates, let's take a letter. The sign and the seal is what validates. But when you look at the seal and the sign of that person, then you look at what the letter mentions, you will see there seems to be a contradiction over here. Contradiction over here. Okay, there's a contradiction over here. Like, probably, in all probability, when you read the account in the book of Kings, Ahab had no idea what Jezebel had written, put his seal on it. She had no idea. She cannot put the seal because she doesn't have the authority. The seal has to be his. Okay? So she writes it out and puts his seal. The next thing you have to see is Naboth is dead. Okay, Naboth is dead. Okay, so we need to understand how the system works. This is how the system works. So Tammuz dies and is miraculously resurrected. So they have these rituals where the, like, you have the Shias beating themselves because the grand nephew of the Ali was killed. That's where the shift between the Shias and the Sunnis. Why the Sunnis have this mourning? What's the difference between these two sects? Though they all go back to Muhammad, yet they split over this, that the Sunnis, they believe, or they claim, killed Ali. So these are the followers, and every year they will cut themselves, weep and mourn and all those things. In the same way, you have this ritual of these people, women, mourning for Tammuz, and Tammuz miraculously comes back to life. Okay? And what you need to understand is, in the Babylonian mythology, you have it validated with all the statues and things which they have discovered. You have what is the mother and the son. Goddesses, God is the one that is worshipped in Babylon. So when God dispersed, that's the cradle of civilization where it all began in Babylon. When God dispersed them by confusing their language, they took this with them everywhere. The Assyrians will have Ishtar and Tammuz. Okay. The Canaanites will have Ashtoreth and Baal. The Egyptians will have Isis and Horus, the son. Osiris is her husband. The Romans will have Venus and Cupid. The Greeks will have Aphrodite and Eros. Okay. And when the Catholic Church took over the church after the Roman Emperor became, they brought in Mary and Jesus. Okay, they brought in Mary and Jesus. The Buddhists have, incredibly, the Buddhists have the same. And in India, of course, we have Devaki and Krishna. Okay, so you need to understand where it originated. That is why it is so difficult to get Catholics to believe in Christ alone. Because this did not start yesterday or today. This is the Babylonian system. Yet within the Catholic Church, like every denomination, there are true believers who have been saved. So please understand how it works. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 18, and 20, 18 to 20. The children gather wood. The fathers kindle the fire. The women knead dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the shame of their own faces? Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, my anger and my fury will be poured out on this place and on the man and on the beast, on the trees of the field and the fruit of the land. Basically, you will see that. That is why we primarily as a church, and but we said in your homes you have the freedom as a church. We will cut away all the trappings connected with Christmas. Because so many of the things which people actually do during Christmas has got nothing to do with Christ. It's got to do with the Babylonian mythology, including during Easter. Easter is used in KJV, but Easter is not about Christ's resurrection, the actual word. It is from Astarte, that goddess. Okay, that's why you have hot cross buns and Easter bunnies and all those things. People don't ask questions. Okay, when it is not there in the word of God, people do not ask questions. The tree, the Christmas tree, no, which is cut and brought and decorated. You will see all those things are there in the Bible. It is never connected with Christianity or Judaism. It is always connected with the Babylonian gods. It is their things. That is where the priest's job is to separate between what is clean and unclean. And then when we don't do that, you see, the problem is this. How subtle it is. So you will say, okay, they will say, okay, this started there and that started there. It is harmless, but it is not harmless. You brought the two major days in Christianity. That's why in the early church, they celebrated nothing. They never celebrated anything. They kept away from it. They stuck. The only thing they stuck to the doctrine with Jesus as priest. There was no celebration of Christmas. There was no celebration of Good Friday or Resurrection Sunday. Nothing. They celebrated nothing because you know what? Because Christianity is not a religion. It's not a religion. It is not a religion. Okay? It is a personal relationship with God. Okay, relationship with God. But what happened is, when Christianity becomes a religion, where do you pick up its rituals from? Because in faith, none of these rituals are there. None of these rituals are there. So you have to pick it from the Babylonian culture. And the problem is, you brought the Christmas decorations, and for Easter you brought the Easter buns and Easter bunnies, and then you brought the tree, and it didn't stop there. And then you brought in Santa Claus. You brought in Santa Claus. And what happens is, Santa Claus has taken over. For the majority of the world, non-believing world, Christianity is simple. It's not Christ. During Christmas season, it is Santa Claus. Okay? So simple thing to do is, stay away from all this. Stick to, okay, Jesus Christ has no beginning or no end. He had only a beginning in his flesh, in his human body when he came, and an end to it. So celebrating the birthday of the eternal God is more pagan than spiritual, because all pagan gods have birthdays. Okay, have birthdays. But God doesn't have a birthday, because the minute God has a birthday, you make him mortal. You make him mortal. Okay, so get these pictures, because this is ultimately what. And then when you look at verse 6 of Revelation 17, 6, and then we'll go to prayer. Okay. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Meaning, this Babylonian system is responsible for the death of the saints of God and every innocent person. How Babylon, when we come to 18, we'll see how Babylon is built. Babylon is built that way. Remember, Saddam Hussein wanted to rebuild the city of Babylon. Okay? And see, they all go back to their ancient culture. So when he made that coin, when he printed, minted that coin, on one side he had the picture of Nebuchadnezzar from one of the ancient inscriptions. On the other side he had his head. His whole idea was to rebuild Babylon. And I do believe Babylon will be rebuilt. Okay? And if you know, in 1981, like Israel is doing now, Israel preempt attacked and destroyed the nuclear reactor of Iraq, which they were planning to make their nuclear bomb. And what do you think was the name of the reactor? Tammuz. Okay, so you need to realize, underneath, it still works. It works. It's okay. So, Middle East is where it all began. So, Babylon, if the entire Bible is talking about two cities, about the beginning of Babylon and the destruction of Babylon. And the beginning of Jerusalem has no beginning or no end, because its priest, real priest, is Melchizedek, who has no beginning or no end. Okay, so it's good to be conservative.
Amen.
Good to be. And stay away from this, because like the top of the towers, if you look at the Aztecs in Mexico and in South America and all these places, they all built these towers, which are basically portals for the demonic to come in. And at the top, they had where human sacrifice took place. Because what happens is, you cannot get anything from the enemy unless you offer him blood. He will not give you anything. So there was this huge controversy over that second debate Trump had. First was with Biden, second was about with Kamala, and he talked about the Haitians, eating in Springfield, eating the animals. the geese and the dogs and the cats and all. Please remember what they are trying to do with both Europe, whether it's a pushback now, and US, the Christian world, is by importing all these immigrants. The problem is not the immigrant. The problem is what the immigrant brings with him or her. What they bring with them is their culture. So they are systematic. You need to realize these are not random things. These are not random things, okay? Like, I forgot, like people like AOC will have a particular term that she will use in her speeches. And when Kamala uses something like the burden of the unburdened and all those things, we think she's crazy. She's not crazy. They have been programmed. This is an actual terminology of German translation of Karl Marx's poem, what she's speaking. And when AOC speaks certain words in her speech, she's actually quoting from Karl Marx's text. And people don't know what it is, because they have been programmed to speak these things. So you need to realize when the people, the Haitians come in, you need to realize somebody said, Haitians are 90% Catholic and 100% voodoo. It's the most, that's why the destruction and the dismay in that poor island. Okay, they are into voodoo. And in voodoo, you cannot receive anything from the spirit they worship until they kill that animal and drink its blood.
Yes.
And that is basically what is happening over here. But you have to be politically correct and never mention it. And because he brought that up over there, there was a huge hue and cry. But that's what they are doing. So you realize, into a small city, you brought in 20,000 people from this country. You think they're going to forget their culture? They're not going to forget their culture. This is why Babylon is a religious, economic, and political system. The economic is the key. The economic. You need to ask, why are they allowing all these migrants in? The answer is cheap labor. Very cheap labor. Very, very cheap labor. Okay? Because if the citizen has to be paid $20 an hour, this fellow will work for $5. So the companies want them. The companies want them. And what they bring with them, what they bring with them is their culture and their idolatry. And their witchcraft, and their sorcery, and their demons. Okay? So, and what they are, this is basically called deconstruction. Okay? Theory, deconstruction, right? Before you can reconstruct the European, the Western Christian civilization, you have to destroy it completely. Destroy it completely, and rebuild it with new patterns. And that is the fight we are seeing. I don't know. Sometimes I feel we still have time. We still have time. I'm not giving you time. I'm saying I still, because Iraq is in a mess. It all has to come back to there, the cradle of the civilization. It has to come back over there. And this is what I see. I'm not being prophetic. Please, anybody, don't cut and post and say Pastor James prophesied this. I'm just looking through with the understanding of the word of God and looking at the modern political situation. What I believe is this is what will happen. In case, that's what I said, November 5th is a big day. In November 5th, if the election goes the way we are praying for and President Trump comes back, Iran will be hammered. Iran is a troublemaker of the Middle East. They are the troublemaker of the Middle East. Israel will have full support. Iran will be hammered, meaning they will be brought down one way or other. Because remember, the two big Shia nations is Iran and Iraq. There could happen an internal revolution in Iran where the people overthrow the mullahs and take over. In that case, we may have another season of peace in the Middle East. The Middle East, where there might be peace back in Iraq and Iran. and prosperity may come because they have plenty of oil. We may go from this EV craze back to fossil fuels with better technology. And in that prosperity and peace, because everything is working according to God's order. I don't know how many years it may take. Babylon will be rebuilt. Right now it cannot be rebuilt. Babylon will be rebuilt. And Babylon will be that city. It's talking about Babylon. This because the Bible actually talks in the Old Covenant about Babylon, the city being. So Babylon is a system worldwide, but Babylon also is a city. Like New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ is a people spread around the world. Yet Jerusalem is also a city on earth, and New Jerusalem is also seen both as a bride and a city. So get this picture in. So we need to be very, very wise, very, very careful. Get out of this Babylon system. Keep your religion as faith and not faith as your religion. Okay. We have a relationship with the living God, and that a relationship that doesn't need rituals. Doesn't need rituals. We don't need rituals. In the minute you bring in rituals, it becomes a religion. Then the power, it's not the power of faith. It's the power of the rituals. That's why Catholics want the Mass to go back to Latin. Even if they don't understand it. Because they think that there is... See, when a Catholic attends a Mass, it's like the Hindu speaking his mantra. Because they think the Mass has power. The Mass has power. The power is in the rituals. But no. The power is in faith. Through faith in the kingdom of God, we appropriate the grace of God. So even we need to be very careful, because it's a slippery edge that even Protestants, well-meaning Protestants, Pentecostals, how easy it is to slip on that ledge where we take the word of God, the written word of God, and try to make it into a ritual, thinking that it has the power to protect us. No, it doesn't have the power to protect us. What protects us is faith. The word of God won't protect us if you try to use it as a ritual, that you put plaques all around your place and sleep in the middle of it. It's not going to do anything for it if you don't believe in what is there. It's not going to do anything like, no? Like basically that's what people, you people who never read the Bible, keep the Bible under their pillow to ward off the spirits that give them bad dreams. All these things people do, and this we are talking about Christians, okay? That is how this Babylonian system, no? Gets into our psyche. So keep your faith simple. Because gospel is simple, and the God of the gospel is very simple. It's not complicated at all. Like, if you were to actually see, you have a picture of the tabernacle God asked Moses to build in the wilderness. It is a very ugly thing. Outwardly, it had nothing to show. Nothing to show. But the beauty was inward. Okay, and like I said to the Nepali church yesterday, we have no eyes to see. Because what has been compromised is our eyes. Because the entire world system is built on the outward. Outward. Built on the outward. Entire system is built on the outward. No? So what happens is this outward beauty messes up us to understand what is the beauty that I like. We've been looking at a series, so the beauty of order, the beauty of love, the beauty of meekness, the beauty of gentleness, the beauty of surrender, the beauty of obedience, all that. But who is seriously interested in it? Why is that we struggle when we actually know in our head that what we are hearing is true. This is what God is looking for. This is who God is. This is how the bride ultimately will be. And yet nobody is excited. Why? Because our eyes have been compromised. The reason God says, do not love the world and the things in the world, is because that entire system is built on outward show. Outward show. And what we lose is the capacity to have in us the love of the Father, which actually loves the things which are not seen. Which are not seen. So we don't appreciate those things, okay? We don't appreciate the things that should be appreciated because our eyes have been compromised. And the entire Babylon, because when we go into chapter 18 and 19, when we look at Babylon, we see this outward glamour of Babylon. Outside glamour of Babylon, you want to see Babylon in its peak. You go to cities like Dubai and Singapore and all. It's all man-made cities. Dubai is made on the desert where there was nothing. And Singapore was made on an island where there was nothing. It's entirely man-made. Entirely. The glitz and the glamour. Okay, but inward, it's rotten. Inward, it is rotten. And this is what God is talking about. Be very careful. Be very careful. Go back and keep listening. Keep listening to see, Lord. That's why the last church is told that you are blind. You cannot see. You need salve for your eyes so that you are able to see. So the question is this. If these are things which God will ultimately judge and these are what God looks for, the question we have to ask is, what am I building? Am I building Babylon or am I building? Am I building Jerusalem? Okay, I like that Pentecostal pastor in Kerala when I heard him speak, and he says, let's look at the people in our church. He says, they all come for every meeting. They all are living peacefully and happily. And what do? Most of them are daily laborers, maid servants, and they make good money. And all the ones who are educated are running around without jobs. Well, they are very well employed. They work in 3 homes, make 30,000 a month. They're regularly never miss a single meeting in the church. And they always give their tithes and offerings faithfully. And they have peace in their homes. And the church is running well. But we will say that, but we still struggle with the Babylonian system. In the Babylonian system, please understand, in the Babylonian system, education is an idol. We should be educated. It's good to be well educated, but don't make education an idol. Because God will destroy that idolatry. Okay, be careful about these things. We are not against education, but we are against education as an idol. Because what education actually does, the educational system of this Babylonian, it's a Babylonian education system. You're not following God's education system. It's a Babylonian education system. That system is always competing against two systems God created. One is called the home, the other is called the church. And this is what is in competition with that. I look into my own life. Why was I at the age of 11 deprived of my home, which I never got back? That's why I fight for homes, because I know what it is to lose one. You know what? For education. The idol called education. And I look back in my life, did that education really matter? No, it didn't matter. It didn't really matter. Okay. And why are our children even here in Grace Home, never there for a Wednesday evening meeting. Never here for a Wednesday. All are Telugus. Never here for a Wednesday evening meeting. Education. While in the first church, it is written, they gathered daily. And it was in the evenings. They gathered daily. Okay. And my question is, all these people who are never there for any of these meetings, are you struggling? Hello? The maidservant is not struggling. The carpenter is not struggling. The plumber who attends every meeting is not struggling. The electrician in that church is not struggling. Because they made God first. God first. Okay. You need to understand how it works. If we don't bring that order which Jesus in his own personal life on earth showed, that he was born into a family that is a home, and from the home where they took him was to the church or the temple. That's where he was taken. Okay. Because at the end of the day, when everything, your educational system is over, what still remains? What remains is the home and the church. But the question is, if you sacrifice these two for the growing years of your life, 15 or 17 or 18 years, you know what? You grow up without attachment to both family and to the church. Without attachment. And that's true. No attachment to the family. Children grow up in hostels and they have no attachment to family. They're okay. They're okay. And you should never be okay. And they're okay if they don't attend church. They're okay. And the question is, who put this into their heads? The parents. They put it into their heads. They put in their head, this is what is important. And that is what I see, that every kid I know of, the minute they leave and they have their freedom, there are two things they cut off from. One, they cut off from the family. Two, they cut off from the church. They do this both. They don't call. You have mobility here. I used to wait 30 days to receive a letter. Just that one letter, 30 days. There were no telephones. Now, you can call anybody anywhere. The question is, do they call? You know what most parents say? They don't. And when they're out of that control, do they go to church? They don't go to church. And we need to ask ourselves, what substituted this? What took their place? You know why? Ultimately, they will worship what we told them to worship. What is that? Education. They worship that. Okay, so as we are here at the end of this, think seriously. Okay, seriously. That's why people need to go before God and cry out and say, Lord, what do I need to do? Now, that's why he said, you cannot change that verse. You cannot take it out of the Bible. He said it, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Will be added unto you. No. So, the question is, it is not what you did he looks at first. What he looks at is, why did you do what you did? In the world, why is irrelevant. They don't want to know why you are doing. They only want to know what you are doing. They are interested in the what. They are not interested in the why. Okay? God is interested in the why and not in the what. Yes, we shall have Peter. Oh, and we shall pray. Who is, by investing tons of money, is making an illiterate idolater into an educated idolater. That's all. That's all we are doing. That's why the first thing is, children,
flee from idols.
But the problem is, how do children flee idols when the parents are making them and handing them over? Okay. So in that Babylon where all these things started, the entire Babylon religion which spread all around the world, a man, we don't know how old is he, hears the voice of God who tells him, come out. Leave. Leave that place. Leave your family. Leave your household. And go to the place I will show you. And that man's name was Abraham. The father of faith. So Abraham is the first man to leave Babylon. Yes. Father, we just thank you, we praise you, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, you have shown us the end from the beginning. We know how this world system will end. Babylon will be destroyed in an hour. First religious Babylon, then the commercial political Babylon. They both will be destroyed, oh Father. Lord, thank you for saving us. Now we pray, Lord, keep us safe, Father. Keep us safe, our hearts and minds from the corrupting influence of Babylon, oh Father. With all her glitter and all her glory, deep within she's absolutely filthy and empty, oh God. Save us, save us, save us, Lord. Continuously save us, sanctify us, separate us.
Yes.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
We commit everyone, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Everyone
thank
in our churches.
Thank you.
every brother, sister listening online, everyone you have touched their lives. Oh Father, they will have the courage and the boldness to come out of Babylon. The system. Use the system, but never be part of that system, because that system has already been judged. It will be burned down with fire. It will be destroyed completely. That in eternity, nothing of that system will ever remain. Help us, help us, help us, Lord, to go back to that verse you gave us in the beginning of the year. Seek my kingdom first. Because Babylon is opposed to your kingdom. It has been created by the Antichrist to oppose the kingdom of God. We are called every day to put your kingdom and your righteousness first. And all the things that are there in Babylon, you will give it to us. Whatever we need for this life to fulfill your purpose. Thank you, Father. Thank you,
Lord. Hallelujah.
Now, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We take authority in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
You said you do not wrestle against flesh and blood.
Lord, yes, Lord.
But against principalities, powers, rulers, this wicked system empowered by Satan himself.
Jesus.
But you said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy.
Lord.
You shall trample upon snakes and scorpions, and they shall by no means harm you. You said, soon the very God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet. We stand on your promise. We bind every power of darkness that has been released to oppose God's plans in the lives of His children. Every demonic spirit of oppression, of infirmity, blind-minding spirits, spirits that cause confusion, we bind you in the name of Jesus, command you to leave now in Jesus' name. Let there be confusion instead in the ranks of the enemy. They will stumble at midday. They will fall into the pit they dig for the saints. They will hang by the gallows they raise up for us.
Yes.
While we shall stand and see the deliverance of the Lord.
Yes.
For it is written, no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Every lying tongue that rises against us in judgment, we shall condemn, and we now condemn it in the name of Jesus. Every ritual, every sorcery, every obey, every curse pronounced, everything that is sent against us that is not of God, we condemn it, we cast it down, and every demon attached to it, we command you to go back from where you came. But we shall stand and see the deliverance
of the Lord.
Oh Father, we just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you. That we have protection under that blood.
Thank you, Lord. The blood of Jesus.
We just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. Be with all your children through this day and through the weekend, O Father. Bless them, protect them, keep them.
Hallelujah.
We now choose to bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. And we declare, O God, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Forever and ever.
Amen.